Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back. Tuesdays, this is a new schedule for this upcoming year. Thank you, everybody, for all the accommodations, especially to Rabbi Yudin for being very flexible. It's very, very helpful. We are continuing on in Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph, the very, very beginning. And we are discussing the life of Chana. While the Navi began by talking about and putting a spotlight on a man named Elkanah, who we learn Chazal teaches was one of the Shoftim. Really, the story and the focus of the story is really on his wife, Chana. He's married to two women, Chana and to Penina. Penina has children, and Chana does not yet have any kids. And that is a big source of challenge and for her personally and for the family at large. It affects the dynamics. And that's something that we need to explore and discuss. This is also most notably the Haftorah for Rosh Hashanah, for the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which is very significant. And we have to think about, just as a bigger picture, is why did the rabbis, when they decided to make Haftorahs, why did they put this as the Haftorah for the first day of Rosh Hashanah? What is the significance of this? In general, it happens to be the focus of the both Haftorahs on Rosh Hashanah, while the focus of the Kriyas HaTorahs on Rosh Hashanah is the Avos, mainly Avraham and Yitzchak. The emphasis in the Haftorahs is the mothers, Chana and Rachel. Rachel Mavakal Benaha is the Haftorah for day two. So I think it's something that, in a broader way, it's something that we really need to explore and think about as we continue on in this story, in this saga about Chana trying to davening for having a child. So a few points just we haven't learned in a few weeks, just to make. If everyone on Zoom can get out a Chumash or a Navi, it's in the Chumash because it's in the Haftorahs, to open up would be much, I think it would be enhance your learning experience by following on inside with us. So you meet this guy, Elkanah. He's living in a place called the Ramah. He's maybe from Har Ephraim. He's really a Levi. He's from the family of Korach, we mentioned. Penina has kids. Chana doesn't have kids. And each and every year, they go to Be'ol L'Regel, to the Mishkan in Shiloh. And each and every year, you know, Penina says, so annoying, so exhausted. Chana's wife says, I have to feed all my kids and to pack all their bags. And we just stuffed the minivan and like we barely got everybody in and they're making noise the whole time. And it hurts. Right? You have to be very sensitive. People went on vacation the past few weeks. Social media is a whole thing. The RCBC, starting the Shabbos, is one article, but over the next 4 weeks, we will be having articles and there will be school and show programming over the next month about social media and screen time and phones. Not anti, but how do we use it appropriately and properly, even in a positive way? We need to, and one of our four pillars of what we're working on each week is going to be a new theme, is pause before you post. Be ultra sensitive to people. Not that you can't live your life, and part of your life is posting, understood, right? Understood. It can be very hurtful and damaging. Even just like talking to someone who can't have any children, who are unable to have kids, and you're like, oh, what did you do the last 2 weeks? Right? You must have had it so easy. Relaxing. Oh, yeah, before school start, chilling out. You're a teacher. Okay, who cares? You have nothing to do. And really that person is struggling so much to have children. And the other one's like, I was exhausted. Yeah, they're right and they're right. We need to be sensitive to, and it's not just about kids. It's about a lot of other things also. At some have nachas, don't have nachas, have challenge. We need to, you know, it needs to be appropriate. You have to know who you're talking to. Usually when it's friend to friend, sometimes it's easier just to be very open as opposed to others. And you have to be very sensitive to it. So it's something that we really see here. And Chazal say that Penina did this on purpose. She did this to push and motivate Chana to daven. And so I heard or I saw that this is a very, it's, how do we know this? Who says? So the psukim make the point that Penina only said this once in a while, and she only said it where? By the Mishkan. So meaning her motivations were pure. She said it at a time when Chana could have easy access to the Kohanim, to the Mishkan, to the greater presence of Shekhinah. She could have it anywhere, but it was purposely done here, and she had that intention. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points out, said this to one of my kids, and they said, stop saying Divrei Torah to me. I said, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz points out that there's a big difference between mitzvahs ben adam l'chavero and ben adam l'makom. When it comes to mitzvahs between us and God, my intention matters, that if I intend to daven, right, and then an ones happens, there's a flood on Morlad Avenue, and I get the shul really, really late, or I don't make it, or something happens. So klape shamayim, you didn't daven. Okay, fine. But klape shamayim, there is some check you get somewhere for them. Okay. When it comes to bin adam l'chaveru, and uses Chana and Penina as the example, as well-intentioned, as well-meaning as you are, if ultimately that resulted in a slap in the face to your friends, even though you really meant it, doesn't count. You don't get the mitzvah for being sensitive, because the result-oriented mitzvah. And he says that even though Penina was motivated positively, that doesn't matter. The result then.
Because we say that if you pray for yourself, it's not as strong as if somebody else prays for you.
Right, so that would be great. Yeah, so maybe, well, let's assume she did also. But these words can really, really hurt. Yeah.
I think it should be resolved. In other words, sometimes God gives us a slap also, and that slap really helps us getting on the right track.
Yeah.
So if she did this, that was kind of to die hard, pray hard, and the result was good. I don't think you should judge the meaning in the wrong way, especially if her motivation was.
Mandy's saying that maybe motivation should matter a lot more when it comes to Bengals Vero. Yeah, it's I think it's a very
it's a fair point.
We don't see Penina getting punished very harshly here.
She loses all her children.
Okay, let's see what the psukim say.
It's a big deal.
Let's see how Chazal spell it out with her children, etc. Let's see how what the psukim say themselves. What that means. Okay, so let's pick it up. Vatakam pasuk tes. Vatakam Chana acharei achla b'shilo. Chana gets up. Right. This is, I think, this word. You also saw this by Naomi in Ruth. Naomi loses Elimelech, her husband, and then Machlon and Kilion. And right after we learn about all of those bosses, the Navi says, "Batakam," she got up. It's so easy if they're getting knocked down emotionally, right, to stay down. Vatakam is indicative of her personality. Vatakam chana acharei achla b'shilo. She gets up after she ate in Shilo. Again, she had her one portion, and they had more. So, ve'liha kohen yoshev al hakisei al mizuzas heichal Hashem. Eliha kohen was sitting right on not a chair, the chair. Right by the entranceway to the Heichal Hashem. Rashi says, Oso Hayom Yashav al Kisei Hagado. Why is he sitting there? Because today was the day that he was deemed the new Shofet of the Jewish people. Yalkut Shimoni says he wasn't the new Shofet of the Jewish people, he was the Kohen Gadol of the Jewish people. usually refer to Elias Kohen Gadol. So two different interpretations, very similar. He took on a new leadership position. Therefore, the Navi says, not who Yashav, as if to say like he was always sitting on a chair, because the truth is, we are not allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol seems like he could sit, and the Malachim, the kings, could sit. Malachim from Beis Yehuda, from Yehuda can sit, but nobody else is allowed to sit in the Heichal Hashem. Okay, the Rabbag points that explicitly. This is like a halachic comment here about his status. And amazing. I want to share with you, the Malbim says something very powerful here. When's the last time you were at the Kotel? Last year. Okay, you go with a lot of people or you go when it's quiet?
It's the afternoon.
There's a lot of people. So the Malbim writes here is that...
It's only quiet 2 o'clock in the morning. You go anytime, it's busy.
That's the best time to go. The Malbim writes here that when did she specifically go? After dinner time, meaning after everybody finished.
When isn't it busy at the Kotel?
Ki chol ha'am halchu leveisam velo hikrivu zvachim ba'esahi. Everybody brought the korbanos, meaning it was busy in the afternoon when everybody was bringing their korbanos. Everybody used that for dinner. Nighttime, it's quiet in the Beis HaMikdash, relevant to the rest of the day, or in the Mishkan, there's nothing going on. So chiyuvim that are bringing you there. So she went there. V'haisa yecholah lisbodei beveis Hashem, lishpoch lefanav sicha. That was a more powerful time for her to daven. It was quiet. Nobody could bother her. She could just focus on her tefillah. V'hi. And what was her personality like? Oh, Maras Nafesh. Does that mean she was Maras Nafesh? Maras Nafesh.
Embittered.
Right? She was embittered. Angry. Like when you say someone's bitter, usually that means they're angry.
Well, that's what
we're sad.
What? We're sad.
If you're angry about something, you become a very bitter person. You just develop this edge.
I think bitterness can come from one of two. Bitterness is not a trait on its own, I think. Psychologists can catch me on this one. It could come from anger or come from depression, right? And someone who is very sad, who is depressed, can become very bitter in life, or someone who's angry also, meaning it's coming from one of those two very powerful emotions, have their way to express themselves in different ways. Vatispalel al Hashem uvacho tifkeh. She davens. If I was davening or you were davening, what would Al Hashem, what would you say? If you were writing this pasuk and you needed El, right? Le Hashem or El Hashem, to, not on, right? She's davening on Hashem.
Putting it on him.
Or that is reflecting her nature right now. She is coming from a very, you know, emotionally charged point. And we're going to see how powerful in language, definitely, her tefillah is. The Radak says, don't worry, we're playing too much with the language. The Radak writes, Kemo El Hashem, V'nasana Sefer, Al, Yodea Sefer Kemo El, Sefer Al Shafa and Kama Al Shafa. So the Radak says there's no real difference here between either one. The Rabag points out here, Rotzalomer Kama Keneged Koche Kochin. Ratzad Ahu Hayalafne Hashem, Rotzalomer Shiyabit, Ratzad Maravi. So she davened, what does Al Hashem mean here? She davened to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was in a specific direction, which is maybe not where everybody else davened, and she cried. Uvacho tifkeh. Yes.
And as you said, that he does not think that all my symptoms are partly over me. He says because...
Mendy suggests that she davened. Al Hashem means the specific closeness here that she's using, that she davened, and...
So you feel the presence of Hashem.
Right.
Although you can say Al means against.
Al means against. Negen. We're like Al, Negen. So this is maybe what the Malbim means. The Malbim says, Shehispalala bekavana shlema Al Hashem levada. We're going to see, this is going to be the Malbim's theme, is that when Chana is now going to daven for a child, she's going to express that I'm not doing this because I need a big Shalom Zachar, or I want a big bris, or I want for me. This is not for me. I'm davening for you, for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's completely and utterly for you. And he's going to, the Malbim is going to understand this in every nuance of word that she says in her tefillah. It's going to be expressed that I'm davening completely for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Uvacho tifkeh, and she cries. Her tefillahs are emotional. He really means it. She really means it. Chazal learn that even though the gates of prayer are closed, the gates of tears, shari dima, lo ninala. So shari dima are able to open up the gates of heaven in a way that regular tefillos are not. It's also important to point out. I think Rav Hirsch writes this. He writes that tears are the sweat of the soul. Right? That's what tears are. You know, you physically sweat when you run, and your body gets, you know, needs to release, I don't know all the physiology of it, but when you are emotionally spent, the tears come out. Vatidur neder, and she makes a neder. Vatomer, Hashem tfakos, imra'o tireh, bani amasecha, uzechartani, velo tishkachas amasecha. She makes a neder, a promise, a swear. God of the legions, Hashem tzvakos, if you see and you see the pain of your maidservant, the Amasacha, and you remember me and don't forget me, Menasata Lamasacha Zera Anashim, please give, right, me a
son,
right?
Child.
Right, so Honey said, before we began, Honey said, if she really wanted a kid, why does it matter if she's getting a boy or a girl? Just, right, a healthy child, period. Isn't that what we want? Healthy children, bottom line. So we'll have to see why she's asking Zera Anashim. Does it mean just in general, and like usually when we go plural, men and women, it's Anashim, or does this mean specifically a boy?
Some other she wants somebody to inherit.
To inherit?
Yeah, in her name.
In her name. So the boy is going to do it, not the girl. Okay.
And also, Rabbi could say that she was so much into this that she wanted an offspring that can really serve Hashem and about Hashem. If I wanted it, so
yeah,
can do that more so than the woman can.
Really? Talk to Sarah, Rachel, Rafael, Leah, Hannah.
What?
Got a list.
She's going to be
donating. Really?
But I think what Mendy is saying is that if it's going to be somebody that can serve in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan, that is that can go to a male. And if this is really expressing, right, if she's really, this is what the, I think the Malbim's going to spell out, if she's really expressing that she, this is completely for Hashem and not for her, then she, we're going to see what's going to happen. He's going to be born 3 years later after he's finished eating for mommy, go straight to the Mishnah, and that's it. And he's trained to be a Navi, right, and be a leader. Women can be Navim too, but we know that this is working in the Mishkan and serving Eli can be done by men. So that's, and that expresses her her lishma-ness of this. And I'm going to give this child to God his whole life. Umora lo yale al rosho. What does that mean? Umora lo yale al rosho. So, so the literal, not the literal, the two translations here. One translation is that he's going to be a Nazir, and Chazal understood that Shmuel was a Nazir. Additional translation, Umora lo yale al rosho. This in Targum Yonasan Ben Uzio. Umaros enosh. He's not going to fear anybody. Meaning, a good leader doesn't bow down, right? Does not, is not in fear of anybody else because they represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The truth is, they probably go together. We saw that the Zirim in general have a certain bravado and confidence about them. So having these two things together is going to reflect who he's going to be and who Chana wants for her child. Okay, so Hashem Tzvakos. Let's just like backtrack now. What does this mean, Hashem Tzvakos? Right, God of the legions. So Chana davened that Hashem is the God of the legions. What does this mean, the legions? Hashem, you're in charge of the Srafim, the Ofanim, the Chayas HaKodesh. We talk about all these different types of beings. I don't know a better way to describe it. V'chol Shekein, the animals, the plants, the everything in this entire world. That's when we say the words, Hashem Tzvakos, God's in charge of all the legions in this entire world. And you're in charge of everything. And I'm little old Chana, and you can't do this one thing for me. I can't have this one child. Yeah, you can't call a favor. You can't do this. Come on, look how powerful you are on your own. I don't understand. Right? So therefore, you should, let's do this. Three times in these psukim, she refers to herself as an amasech, right? Shalosh pamim hi maskira es amasecha betfilasa, to show, right, her submissiveness, her humility to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? What's that famous story? And I think it's someone that was davening for something. I think it was for kids. It might have been for something else. A lot of things to daven for. And he said, the Ger Rebbe said to him, I heard this from, it's a Rebbe of Rasha Weiss's Sfarim. He said, Gavin, I have Kavana by Ana Hashem. So, he daven by, maybe someone's sick. He said, I have Kavana in Hallel by Ana Hashem. So he said, okay. He davened Ana Hashem. Didn't work. So he said, which Ana Hashem were you davening for? Be davening by. So he goes, oh, right. Hatzlichana or Hoshiana. Which one? So he said, neither. Which one? Ana Hashem ki ani avdacha. Ani avdacha ben amasecha. So that's the main one. That's the main Ana Hashem, to recognize that we are just nobodies, servants, slaves. There's a tremendous amount of humility that Chana is expressing here. Chana Amra Zos, Lefisha Isha, Bisha Sakana, Nivdekes, Bishlosha Dvarim. I'm reading here from the Das Ofrim. Chana said this in this way because she is saying that women in times of danger, we say this every single Friday night. Shalosh Averis Nashim Mesos Bishas Leidasan. What are they? Adlakas and air and?
Taking
Khala. And Khala. So now look at Chana's name. Chana, what does Chana spell out here? Ches is Khala. Nair. No, sorry, Nun is Nida. And Hey is Hadlakas and Nair. So Klum Avart, she says, Klum Avarti, Alachas Mehem. I never violated any of them. Skorim Brachos. Lachin Ikshasa Lishol Al Ikrosa, Nachmas Mahi Ruyalanish. What? I'm your Amasecha. Three times. I am very careful that all mitzvos, specifically the ones that are miyuchad for women, I'm very, very makbid. Follow the letter of the law, and maybe beyond, for these three mitzvos. Hashem, I'm doing my part over here. Please do yours. She continues to daven a lot. Daven a lot. The Eli Shomer S.P.H. Now, what's going on here? Now we have so she's not alone, right? We already said that Eli was sitting there quietly. There's at most a few people there, maybe the only one according to the Malbim. And she's davening, she's crying, she's very emotional, and she's not stopping, right? She is not slowing up over here. So Ailey's watching her mouth. Why is Ailey watching her mouth? Shomer S. Piha. So Rashi writes here, he's wondering when she's going to end. Is she ever going to feel like this is intense? I've never seen some of that like this. Shomer doesn't mean like guard or watch only. It could also mean, like we say in Parshas Vayeshev, that when Yaakov heard Yosef's dreams, Laviv Shamar Sedavar, he knew that Yosef was going to be great one day, and he was waiting and hoping for the day that this was going to happen. We are Shomer Shabbos. So one level, Shomer Shabbos means we keep Shabbos, but on a deeper level, it means we're excited for Shabbos. We look forward to Shabbos. So we're Shomer Torah. We look forward. We love Torah. Now, he was Shomer S.P.H.A. He was looking towards your mouth. When is she going to end? Because he's never seen something like this. He's never seen something like this before. Now, what does it mean he's never seen something like this before? So the Malbim says is that if somebody needs something in davening, do you really need, like, this is a reasonable question, practical question. You need to daven very long, right? Hashem, I need children. Hashem, I need this person to be healed. Isn't that enough?
Rosh the three words.
What?
Rosh the three words.
Kel na, Rafa na, La. Right, five words, right? And okay, it's so like what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. What?
It's very personal. It's what you feel you need to say. You can't say, say it in three words or less and get out. No, it's what you feel. If she was so intense and it's in such her heart, it's what she needs to say, how she feels to express it. It's very personal.
I think it's that the average person would be crying out loud. But she wasn't saying anything.
There you go. Oh, the Malbim says exactly what Yossi says. The Malbim says, Shomer is Piha, is that typically many people would daven out loud. Back then, that's the way it was. People would daven out loud. She wasn't davening out loud. But she wasn't davening silently either. her mouth is moving, which was different, and he's never seen that before. Why? Because we follow Chana in our tefillah. When we daven with our mouth moving, and you have to say it loud enough where you can hear it, but not the person next to you, we learn that from Chana. Chana midaberes aliba, we're going to see in a second, right? That's what that means. So he was like, what is this? I have not seen this before. I see people scream out to God, and I see people stand silently, but this is a little bit in between, and I'm curious about this. And that's the psukim continue. Chana midaberes aliba. Chana's davening. Again, Al Hashem and Aliba. We should know, parenthetically, there's midrash in many different places that say that Rosh Rishayim, Libam, their heart is in control of them. Heart means your emotions in Chazal. How do you know that? When Esav talks and when Haman talks, Vayomer Haman, Bilibo. Chana and many other great people, it's Al Liba, meaning they're in control of their emotions. People could be very emotional, but be in control of their emotions or not. Right? We come encounter, I'm sure, with people on both sides all the time. Chana was extremely emotional, but she was in control of what she was doing. It was a very serene and holy moment that he is, Eli, is witnessing. Rak sifaseha na'os, the kola lo yishamea. Her lips are moving, but he can't hear what she's saying. Right? This is the Shulchan Aruch uses the exact language when he says how we should be davening Shmoneh Esrei, right, with this language. Yeah.
Do we know how long Hannah was married for at this time? How many years is now waiting to have a child?
We don't.
No idea. But it's definitely years and years. Like they said something like suddenly you have to put a year or two.
No.
Well, you said the rule is she doesn't have kids in 7 years.
10. If it's 10, technically they can get divorced. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not that long.
Since he has children with somebody else.
Children. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So it's at least seven or something.
He divorces the wife. She doesn't.
That's seven children, right?
But if he's already got children.
The soup. Yeah. I will say this is not a halacha that you must or you should. There are two gedolim. Again, we don't know the biology, and they might have not, because who knows if it was available. The Chazon Ish did not have any kids. And Lav Trevi. And I think it was brought up to one of them. And they said, someone said, chutzpah, how come you don't try someone? Right? He said, to embarrass a Bas Yisrael. Would never do it. I get lo ola avatam, assuming it's not on them and not on, again, biology today. We know a lot more today than they did even 30 years ago. And Chazon Ish passed away longer than that to even question those things. So it's not a must. Like Yitzchak and Rivka, they moved, right? They changed places, Mishana Malka, Mishana Mazel, which is what people do, you know?
Take it back to my question.
Yeah.
So Amy, I'm sure this is not the first trip that they now have made.
Yeah.
And didn't Amy have an idea? This he's talking about prominent people here. This was Joe Smart. Didn't he have an idea that all the trouble that Han was going through, that it shouldn't be so strange? But she was going through such a troubled time.
Yeah. Fair point. I think it's a fair point.
It seems like I'm missing about two things, and that he was not really in touch with things. And number two, just was insensitive.
Yeah, so maybe your question, Mendy, about how come Eli didn't know, maybe this says something more about Eli than it does about Chan.
Eli was just the sense for Rishayim.
What?
Every associate with Shakti.
Correct. But we can't always, I don't say, I think what you mean by that, not that he is to blame for his children, but maybe he didn't see bad in his shits. He wasn't aware of what was happening, which is clear. He did not know what they were doing and taking advantage of people. That seems to be clear in the psukim. It could be, though, the opposite. It could be that this opportunity was always there for Chana, and she never took advantage of it until now. Sometimes we have opportunities to change our mazel, our situation, and sometimes we're too stubborn. And sometimes we just don't realize our eyes aren't opened. You know, I once spoke about this on Rosh Hashanah, right? At least 10 years ago, I think 10 years ago. So where I connected this to Hagar. By Hagar also, when Hagar is thrown out and Yishmael is leaving to die, what happens to Hagar? What does she eventually see that saves everybody? A well, right? She's the well. So, but the well wasn't there before. So Rashi, I think, writes that no, it wasn't there before because of the tefillos of Yishmael. The well popped; it appeared there. The Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, who is had a different way of learning the Chumash than his grandfather, said the well was there the whole time. She just didn't see it, right? You just didn't see it. So it happens sometimes. Happens like you're looking for your keys. Can't find them. You're like, forget about it. I'm going to just walk to shul. And the next time you come back, my gosh, you're right there. I can't believe it. These things, you know, that's a minor thing as opposed to this. But sometimes we don't realize the opportunities that we have in front of us all the time. And we don't. And there was a wake-up call. Something happened this time when she realized that she could do it. So it could be. Could be. And we'll end with these three last words, which we'll have to unpack more. Vayechsheveha Eli leshikora. And Eli thought that she was drunk. That is, right?
I heard something very nice about that.
Why did she think she was drunk? So the way most mefarshim understand this is that he's never seen anyone that one before in his life. So what's she doing? So she must be drunk. This is how drunk people behave. They talk to themselves. So that's pashtus, simple understanding as what happened. Some say that he saw the ephod, and the ephod had all these letters. And instead of shikora, it really meant kishera. Well, oh, kisara. Oh, like sara. Very nice. Okay. And maybe next week we'll learn the chasm sofer. Then maybe she was shikora, and maybe that was appropriate. But not shikora in the way that we mean, like she was drunk, but shikora, maybe there's a deeper meaning to what that means. Not colloquially drunk, but it means something deeper. Okay.
Something
wish everybody a great day. We'll continue with Pasuk Ketzvav. Get you dialed next week.
When you started off with